discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, do you want to live a great life? Most of us would say yes, but living a great life doesn't just happen by chance. It's the result of wise decisions every day. And good decision-making starts when we're young. In the new book, Choose Greatness, Dr. Clarence Schuler and Dr. Gary Chapman offer 11 key decisions that young men face during their teen years and show how they handled those decisions in their own lives. Then they guide young men on making these decisions themselves. We unpack a great friendship, a great story, and great wisdom today on the road as we welcome Dr. Clarence Schuler, President and CEO of the nonprofit BLR, Building Lasting Relationships, and co-author of this special new book. A hearty welcome to you, sir. How is the day treating you so far?
Hello, Ryan. I'm doing well, doing well. Out here, you know, it's snowing like crazy, which is sort of unusual, having kind of a blizzard. So I'm busy but excited and really looking forward to being with you.
Well, we wish you the best, sir. Being based in the upper Midwest, we understand blizzards, so we know what it's like, and we wish you the very best.
Okay, thanks.
Well, what really grabbed me first about this collaboration was just the story behind the story, right? I mean, you and Dr. Chapman go way back, all the way to your youth group. Is that right?
Well, yeah. We're both kind of old, or I guess maturing, but I met him back in 1968. I was 14 years old. And we were in North Carolina, so there was tremendous racial tension. And even though segregation had legally been outlawed, it was still practiced. So it was kind of a radical deal that we even met. So, but my buddy went there. He knew some girls and invited him there, and I was his bodyguard. He was really short. He was only 4'8". I was 4'9", so I was his bodyguard. So.
That 1 inch does make a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was the big man, yeah. So.
Well, you touch on it there just in the broad sense, but I mean, you guys had a lot of things in common, but you did have a lot of central differences too, right?
Well, we did. I didn't know him. Actually, honestly, back then, I went to an all-black school. My buddy went to integrated school, so... You know, I hate to say it, but back then whites were sort of my enemy. It was about survival. And so
of course.
We had to walk to a white neighborhood to go to the church. But he came out in the court, and you could just sense his spirit that there was something different about him. And he wasn't a great basketball player. He wasn't bad, but he just really came out to build a relationship with us because
sure.
That's what we were. Because in North Carolina, you have tobacco, you know, basketball, tobacco, and Baptist permitted in order. So it was quite a deal for him to come out and build a friendship. He began to change my paradigm shift about how I viewed, you know, whites in general.
Oh, that's such a great story. Well, obviously, too, I mean, a lot of us can point to a youth leader or a teacher who was a huge difference maker for us, but very few are blessed to be able to carry on that relationship actively for decades. How have you guys been able to do that?
You know, a year later, he introduced me to Christ in 1970, and about a year later, 1971, he began to disciple me, and we've been close ever since. I mean, he, for a while, had two dads. Well, my biological dad, who was also a hero of mine, when he died when I was 20, Gary, for all practical purposes, became my dad in every possible way, and he was the best man, did our premarital counseling, best man at my wedding. He's like a grandpa to my kids, but we just always stayed in touch. He's always prayed for me. So, and I learned that from him. So he just intentionally stayed in touch, you know, with me. So it's been over 40 years.
I love it so much. Well, so much of what we're talking about sets up the book so perfectly. These messages are just centers of the book. Why, I mean, just in terms of starting out here, why a message to young boys specifically in 2019, and then why the invitation to choose greatness?
Well, I think this is something God put on Gary's heart because people ask him to write a book for fathers, and he said there are plenty of books out there, but, you know, there's a phrase people use called upstream strategy, if we want young men to be good husbands and good fathers, we got to get to them before they become husbands or fathers. And, of course, it always happened in that order. And so he wanted to write to the young man. And so that's what he did. And I think it's a really good book, and we're having non-Christian young men read as well as Christian. And they all love it. We have yet to get a negative feedback from the book. So we're really excited, cause, and I think it's to them. And it means a lot to young men to have something written specifically to them as opposed to having their dads come tell them or if they don't have a dad. So but that was all really Gary's ideas, what God put on Gary's heart.
Oh, that makes a great deal of sense. Dr. Clarence Schuler is the president and CEO of the nonprofit BLR, Building Lasting Relationships, and co-authors Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Can Make, with his lifelong friend, Dr. Kerry Chapman. Gary, I called him Kerry. Please don't tell him I did that. Goodness.
Okay.
What are some of the biggest issues that you begin to identify that young men are facing today? Obviously, a pretty enormous question.
Well, I think the first thing is just the wisdom that they can get from their parents or a trusted adult. You know, one thing in the first chapter, we really try to encourage, you know, it's great if a father actually gets his book and reads it with his son, that the son has his own copy and the father has his own copy and they do it together. But the reality of it, there's a lot of single parents. And so it's a book that a single mom can actually grab and look at and then encourage her son to read. And it even tells the mom things like how important it is for that young man to have a trusted adult, male adult. But we also encourage her in that process, unfortunately today, that she has somebody do a background check. But so we think it's important that young men learn that there's things they can learn from an older man, a more mature man. We emphasize education, which a lot of times is seen as not cool for a lot of different reasons, which you don't have time to go into totally in this program.
Sure.
And so we stress, and so we try and help guys see the long-term effect, or it's or sort of like if going from being a shooting guard to a point guard. You know, a shooting guard, all he has to do or she has to do is just really shoot the ball once they get it. But a point guard is really the coach on the floor. They see everything before it happens or as it's happening.
Wow.
So we're trying to teach these guys to have a long view as opposed to just an immediate view and not understand the possible consequences.
I always wanted to be a shooting guard, too, but, you know, the complete lack of athletic ability was always a bit of an issue.
Well, I would disagree. I think I can make anybody a shooting guard. I teach people how to shoot. So you probably can shoot. You just need a good coach.
Hey, I find that oddly encouraging. Thank you very much, Doctor. So you build the book around 11 wise decisions. And let's investigate some of these just tremendous points a little bit more carefully, point by point. Choose to seek wisdom from parents or trusted adults. That's leading off chapter one. And this, we know this is a great word that maybe doesn't always seem like such a great move as a teenage boy, right? So how do you tackle that?
Right. Well, the fact that their parents have lived and have experience, and the fact that their parents may have more experience than they do, and they want to benefit from that. And even though they're learning things, that the reality, they've learned most from that some adult. And so we're trying to teach them not to make the mistakes. You know, we become pretty transparent and tell them not to make some mistakes we made, or at least I can say mistakes I made. And so I think by comparing that, understanding their age and our age, and what they're going through now, that's kind of our focus, that you want to make a good decision, that you don't want to make some of these mistakes, say, for example, that I made. So that's how we approach that. And we're not telling them what to do. We're trying to give them options, and we're trying to make suggestions toward them. And so that's how we sort of come alongside them, sort of maybe like a grandfather.
Well, that's awesome. And I imagine there's a layer of vulnerability and authenticity, too, when you admit that you haven't always been perfect in these areas. That kind of gives you a platform to speak into a life even a bit more.
Well, I speak to a lot of young people, 12 years old and up, and do a lot on college campuses. And one thing that the young people have taught me is that being authentic and being transparent are really the keys. And then once you do that, then they really do want to embrace someone who's lived longer. They're looking for that. It's just a lot of times they feel that the people talking to them aren't authentic, aren't transparent, so they can't relate to them.
Of course. Well, we're going to get into the so very topical issue of technology here in just a moment, but Dr. Clarence Schuler is with us today on the road. He's the president and CEO of the nonprofit BLR, Building Lasting Relationships, and co-authors Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Can Make, with his lifelong friend, Dr. Gary Chapman. And how cool is this? The publishers have allowed us to give away some books from Dr. Schuller and Dr. Chapman here during the show. So if you are touched by this, if there's somebody in your life that could really use this book, you can head to myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And under programs, look for On the Road. And right there, you'll see a place you can send us a note, a contact form. Just let us know, hey, I would love a copy of this book. And we'll put you in the drawing for Choose Greatness. It is hard to overstate, Doctor, just how much technology has changed the fabric of growing up. And you focus on that in decision number three. What's involved here with your advice to make technology work for you?
Well, technology can be a good thing, or like you intimated, it can be a bad thing. And so we try and encourage them to think about what they're doing before they do it. For example, we really believe that social media should really just be given to give facts. Like, for example, Ryan, let's meet at Outback for lunch or something like that. But anything emotional that we try and encourage them not to do, because it can be misinterpreted, because people have their own grids and filters they go through. So that's really important. I think another thing we talk about, unfortunately, with technology has opened the door for pornography. And young men and young women are getting addicted at very early ages. So we talk to them about that and get involved with that. And then some guys and girls are taking pictures of themselves, and we call it sexting. And we just make them aware that when you do that, that picture never goes away. And so we also gave an example of a young guy. He's a star athlete, football player, had a scholarship. It was just him and his girlfriend, according to them, and they were sexting, and someone got his phone and saw her picture on it. He was 18, she was 17, considered a minor. He got arrested for felony, you know, for child pornography. Wow. So lost a scholarship, and now they're trying to fight it through the court. So those are things that people tend not to think about. And so we're just trying to help guys think or slow down and process the consequences of any decision they make. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it does. And I can't help but think, I mean, when we were growing up, I mean, if you say something, as kids are wont to do, you say something that you wish you hadn't said, well, that lives in a moment, and it can do damage in a moment, but you say it on Facebook, and it doesn't just live that day, but it can live on for decades and decades. I mean, it's such a challenging area. So thank you for that. I think that's a really important message.
Well, I'm glad. And I think another thing with technology, it sometimes can hurt our social skills, because a lot of times we would say something in a text or via Facebook, we would never say face-to-face. So these are just little couple tips to try and make guys aware of when they're dealing with social media.
Yeah, so very good. Well, decision number five then is another vital one. You mentioned it just in the introduction here, but choose to respect girls and women. How do you shape that message, sir?
Well, first thing we do with the boys, you know, most boys love their mom. And so we talk to them about their mom and that fact she's a female. And then for a lot of guys, they have sisters. And so that women that aren't young girls that aren't their mom or sister still need the same kind of respect. And so we talked from that idea. We even let them know that young girls who are being filmed in pornographic films, that's somebody's mother, daughter, sister, whatever. And so you don't want to be looking at that. And so, again, that's when we kind of shape it and couch it in that whole area. And most guys love their moms and sisters, and they say, hey, I don't want to do that. So it just helps them begin to think and look at things a little bit differently, and that they're worthy of respect. And we ask that, don't you think your mom or women that you know that love you are worthy of respect? So we try and build that in that particular fashion.
Wow, that's a tremendous point. Great way of looking at it. You also spend a lot of time talking about the key importance of building diverse and lifelong friendships, which of course has such a special resonance for the author team here. Why have you found that to be so key?
Well, I think as a history major, I remember my historiography class, it said the more you learn about other people, the more you learn about yourself.
Whoa.
So, which is huge.
Wow.
And especially for those who are Christ followers, and we think of single missions, because a lot of times people think missions are going overseas, but missions can actually be going across the street. And so if I really want to learn about myself, Ryan, if you and I are different, if I get to know you, I'm going to learn more about myself. And so I think it's just a great motivation to teach people. And then if we understand the scriptures, God is really all about interdependency. And so the more we learn to depend on each other, to help each other, encourage each other, it's a win-win for everybody, for us as individuals, but also for the body of Christ. So we try and encourage people to do that, not just because somebody's a different complexion, but because a lot of times when people are different, people tend to fear difference. And if we can make friends with people who are different, we can alleviate some of that fear.
Man. That's a tremendous, tremendous word. Dr. Clarence Schuler is here with us today on the road, the president and CEO of the nonprofit BLR, Building Lasting Relationships. He co-authors Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Can Make, with his lifelong friend, Dr. Gary Chapman. We've got books to give away. If this is something that could be a blessing in your life, in the life of someone that is dear to you, you can head to myfaithradio.com. Under programs, just look for On the Road, and then there's a contact information right there on the Road show page. You can send us a note and say, hey, I would love a copy of Dr. Schuler's book, Choose Greatness. You really advocate for every young man needing a father or a substitute father, as you put it, in his life. And so many of us were blessed to have that from day one. But what encouragement can you offer the single mom who might really hope for a mentor for her son but just isn't sure where to start looking?
Well, we do make some suggestions of like big brothers or someone in the church, but again, to have a background check, because unfortunately in our society, you know, men sometimes are taking advantage of younger guys. But we think that's a good first place to do that. And we also let them know that just because a guy has access, if they give a young man access to their son, it doesn't give them access to them. So, but there are some organizations that can be really helpful. But we also try and help them understand that it's so important to have a guy like that in their life to help them deal with questions they may not feel comfortable asking the mom. But the mom has to have the final say and approval of anybody around her son. So we do encourage them to try and do that. And we do think churches should be a good place to do that, a good first step, you know.
You really explored the importance of mentors just throughout your life, throughout your spiritual growth. And we talked a bit about your relationship with Dr. Chapman, but maybe even just more generally, how significant have mentorships been in just helping you become the person that you are today?
Well, I think it's huge. I think I really actually, to a great extent, call it discipleship, because discipleship has a reproductive element. And there are older men in my life. Gary's one of them, but they're also one of my recent mentors died a couple of years ago. He was 92. And for 23 years, I would see him almost every week.
Wow.
And he would just impart wisdom. And people he knew, which I was amazed, he's quite an amazing guy. His friends were guys like Chuck Colson and stuff like that. So I had access to Chuck Colson. Or there's a guy named Gordon Louts who helped build Prison Fellowship with Chuck Colson, who's now mentoring me here in Colorado Springs. Bill Pinnell out in California, who's a professor at Fuller Seminary, who's retired, who's close to 90. And it's something about having these older men speak life to you. And for a guy my age, when these older men speak, I listen, but also kind of lets me be a little boy again. And so I think it's kind of cool to get that. And I have young guys asking me. I just wrote a chapter today about being a spiritual dad to young men who aren't my sons, but they call me dad.
Wow.
And so it's kind of the same thing I've learned from Gary, sort of pass on, and they tend to say it's invaluable, and they love to talk and have someone listen to them, love them and pray for them and encourage them, and also challenge them when they're, you know, doing the wrong thing. And so you have to love them enough to tell them what they don't want to hear all the time, but what they may need to hear.
Well, maybe just following up on that for a second, so much of what we've been talking about is geared to young men going
right
through all the struggles of their life. But maybe there's somebody who has been asked to be in that mentor position, or the opportunity is presenting itself. And I think one of the things we think about is, I'd love to do it, but I just feel like there are certain areas of my life where maybe I don't have that perfection down, right? And you feel like you have to be perfect to put yourself out there in that role. If somebody's thinking that, what would you say to them?
Well, I think the first thing, the reality of no one's perfect. You know, according to the scriptures, you know, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so no one's perfect, even though we're forgiven. So I think that's the first thing. But I think God would often use our imperfections as strengths. And when we talk to young people, when I talk to young people, I try to be authentic, transparent, but I'm also vulnerable. They also know my struggles, they know my weaknesses, and it makes you real to them, and they can relate to that because they can't relate to somebody who's really perfect. They think it's great, but the guy who sits there and says, hey, you know, I've struggled with this, but I'm mastering it, this is what I'm doing, that's the guy that gives them hope. So that's why I would encourage anyone who thinks, hey, I got to be perfect, don't sweat that, because the reality is you're not, and that's not a liability. And you don't have to have all the answers. It's not about having all the answers. It's about caring and loving and being consistent. Not perfect, but consistent.
Thank you for that. That's an awesome word. I think that'll speak to so many of us today. You know, another perhaps countercultural thing that you guys do in the book, you encourage boys and young men to step outside of their own life and everything that the busyness of their day and everything that's on their plate and to serve intentionally and to bless other people. I love that you went there. Why is that so significant?
Well, again, that's more Gary than me. He's more spiritual than I am. But I remember my mom and dad, man, when I was a kid, they made me cut grass for senior citizens.
Wow.
And I could not take money. They couldn't pay me for it. And they never said why. They said, you just need to do this. And I think, as I look back, it was to honor one of the senior citizens. It was to learn to work without getting paid and do things for others. And, you know, it's cool. I mean, I was glad when I was done with it, but you felt good about it, that you did it. You did a good job. But it's like when someone new comes to your school, you start serving them, make them a friend. You get blessed. I think when we give, I think we actually get more than we in return when we give to others, initiate giving, and when we give with no agenda. So it's just a good character trait. And if you understand the scriptures, it's really all about giving. That's what Jesus did to us. He gave to us first.
Yeah. So good. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left in a conversation that has proceeded very quickly. But first, before we move to maybe having a few moments for a last question, Dr. Clarence Schuler, the book once again called Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Can Make, co-authored with his lifelong friend, Dr. Kerry Chapman. I called him Kerry again, Dr. Clarence. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. It's his name. It's okay with me.
Dr. Gary with the G Chapman. And we have 5 copies of the book to give away. So if you...
Wow.
Are blessed by this today, we would just absolutely love to send you a copy of this great book. You can sign up at myfaithradio.com. Under programs, you can look for On the Road and just send us a note and say, I would love a copy of this book, and we will put you in the drawing. But sir, just where can we learn more about? I mean, you're involved in so many great ministries. Where can we learn more about what you're up to? And also, what's the best place to pick up a copy of this great book?
Well, I think I know Moody would love for you to go to their website. Moody Publishing would love you to go to their website. I think it's moodypublishing.com and pick up a copy of the book. Or you can go to Amazon to get a copy of the book. Or you can go to my website. My website, if people want to know more about me, I have a lot of free videos on relationships and stuff. It's just my name, ClarenceSchuler.com. And my last name is S-H-U-L-E-R. We were poor, so there's no C in my last name. There's only one L. So it's just ClarenceSchuler.com.
I didn't think you could top your earlier comment about that Dr. Chapman is more spiritual than you are, but that just did it. That was beautiful.
But the website's loaded with a lot of free stuff, a lot of free videos I think people really enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's such a great message. And I guess, you know, just a couple moments here finishing up. What kinds of questions can young men ask themselves? You know, when they're faced with a difficult decision, where can we go first and what can we start thinking about?
Well, I think one of the first questions they need to ask themselves is this: what are the long-term consequences of my action? The next question I would encourage them to do after they ask what are the long-term consequences, do I want to pay the cost? And then a couple more, who else will my decision impact either positively or negatively? And then the last one, if they're a Christ follower, will God get the most glory through what I'm about to do? So I think those are really good, solid questions that can help a young man make a decision about what they're going to do in the midst of trying to make a decision.
Man, what just tremendous practical advice from the book Choose Greatness, 11 Wise Decisions That Brave Young Men Can Make. Dr. Clarence Schuler has joined us today. Sir, what an absolute pleasure to talk with you today. It was so much fun and so inspiring. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, Ryan, thank you. And thanks for making me feel so welcome. And just, you do such a great job. I just really feel fairly at ease with you. You do a great job at what you do. So thank you for the opportunity and hope we can do it again sometime.
Oh, that sounds great, sir. God bless you. Keep up the amazing work.
Thank you, Ryan. God bless you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.